And so we want to kick off our new series, and our new series is all about beholding. We're going to lean into what the angels declare. They're like, behold, I've got good tidings. I've got good news for you. But to kick it all off, I want to start with a riddle. How many in this place like jokes or riddles? Good, your hand's up. Mine's not. But I brought a riddle for you. And it says this, can you guess this riddle? What is something that you cannot touch or see, but is more essential to our survival than food, water, or air? Any ideas? Just yell it out. Hope. I'm going with that. So the answer, and this Hal Lindsey, a gentleman named Hal Lindsey, he put it this way. Man can live about 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, about 8 minutes without air, but only for 1 second without hope. How many have ever felt that feeling of just hopelessness? We sing carols about a weary world, a little town of Bethlehem where, yes, the hopes and fears of all the years. In our journey and in our communities, maybe even in our churches, there's times where we just feel weary, where it feels like hope has just been evaporated and hope's been pulled away. But as we come around this time of year, as we come around Advent, there is a truth that there is a hope. There is a thrill of hope that is wired within us because hope makes a difference. And so this morning, if you're taking notes, the title of our message is this, behold, behold his hope. And we're going to look at Isaiah 9, verse 2 through 6 and 7. And it says this, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Jumping to verse 6, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate or enthusiastic commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. So this morning, even from that truth of the quote by Hal Lindsey, there's a desire in all of us this morning, from the youngest of the child in here to the oldest adult in here. There is a desire because we were wired for hope. We want to have a thrill of hope. When you're cheering for the Maple Leafs every year at the beginning of the season, there is a thrill of hope. And then we get a few months in, and we feel like we're wandering into great darkness. It's all of those kind of moments that in the small things and the big things, we understand that feeling of when hope is evaporating, when hope is growing. Because hope is a powerful emotion. It's a driving force that's needed for healthy living. Many of the people who are walking through despair, walking through grief, the thing that they need the most besides Jesus, but he is the hope, is hope. A little light to shine in the moment of darkness. A little light, a glimmer of hope in a tough season, in a tough week, in a tough year, in a tough circumstance. So we have this truth, but if we're honest with ourselves, if we're wired for hope, what happens when it lets us down? Have you ever trusted in someone or something and it lets you down? If you haven't, I need to be your friend. Because all of us have. We've trusted in sports teams. We've trusted in cars. We've trusted in our finances. Sometimes we've even trusted in relationships. And at times, they will let us down. And hope starts to go. And we start to become weary. It starts to become a little bit of darkness that comes to our lives. We have a hard time trusting others. And we have a hard time trusting God. Because why would a good God allow some bad things to happen in our world? These are all real things that we wrestle with. And the people who were in that time where Isaiah the prophet was speaking, they were going through very much what we're going through even in our world today. I would say even at times worse. There was political turmoil. Their culture was flipped upside down. They were starting to walk away and make connections and make relationships with things that were not God and with people that were not doing godly things. And it was leading them down a dark and dreary trail. They were feeling fear that was coming in because the Assyrian army was starting to sort of crowd around And they knew that there was trouble on the horizon and trouble had already arrived at their doorstep. And they feel like they're walking through this deep darkness. If you would read the chapter before, it talks all about the darkness that they were encountering. But there becomes a glimmer of hope that those who walk through deep darkness, a light shone. There becomes this moment where in our weariness, in our darkness, there's still hope. Because if you would read through Scripture, and we see if you were in school or Bible college, they would say that sometimes words would resemble other things. And so when we see hopelessness in the Bible, it's often displayed through the image or the metaphor of darkness. We see people who walk in darkness, whether due to weariness, fear, stress, failure, extended waiting, crushed dreams, being let down, or feeling overlooked. Many feel like they're walking in darkness. Can you agree? If it's not you, I'm sure you know someone who this Christmas season doesn't feel filled with joy, doesn't feel filled with hope and with peace. They're weary, they're tired, they're worn out. They can't see the lights, all they can see is the darkness. All they can see is this bad report on the news. All they can see is the trouble that's going on in their home or the trouble that's going on in their community. And the people of Isaiah's day were walking through that kind of season because hope placed in the wrong things can make a dark and hopeless situation even feel worse. How many of us know someone who's turned to addictions or turned to substances to try and find hope? Hope placed in the wrong things only leads to greater darkness. How many of us have tried to get consumerism and say, like, if I buy more things, I'll feel better? Then you get the credit card bill and you feel even more hopeless. That's the truth of the journey that we're on. Wrong placed hope in the season of darkness will only bring more stress, will even make you more weary. So how do we find hope? How today can we actually be people filled with hope? Because we are supposed to be people filled with hope because we follow and know the hope of glory. Because when you're feeling hopeless, you can't even find the solution. But maybe today, for the first time for some, you can actually realize that hope is here. Hope is rising. Hope is in this place because hope has already come, and his name is Jesus. The second truth is hope breaks through. I love this portion of text. It says, they saw a great light in the middle of the darkness, in the middle of all the fear, in the middle of the warring nations coming and surrounding them, ready to take them over. It says, there is a great light. They started to have a glimmer of hope. I'm not going to make our team try to do this instantly. But if it was dark in this place, and sometimes it can get really dark, you know, if all the lights are off, it goes dark. And when you're fairly new, now I'm almost a year, so I don't bump into things as much in the dark here as I used to. But in those moments, it's scary. You don't know where to turn. Most of us are scared of the dark. But you ever notice when you turn on a single light, or even if it was a candle today, even if it was one of those dollar store flicker candles and I just hit that button, that small little light pierces through the darkness. And the instant thing is even in our common sense, from the youngest in this place to the oldest, when that light comes on, now we don't go, ta-da! We're not surprised that all of a sudden the light has won, because we have been so programmed in our world that we know that light overcomes the darkness. Is it true? Every time that someone walks into a room and flicks a light switch, we don't give a standing applause, do we? Why? Because we know if it's dark, turn on the light, because light overcomes darkness. We have a hope and an assured hope that when lights come on, darkness must flee. We know that as fact, even in the natural. Even if today you have no faith, you know that. And I want to tell you today that the light that they were talking about, the fulfillment of the prophecy, his name is Jesus. He is the hope of glory. He is the light. He is the truth. He is the way that in the darkest of seasons in our world, in the darkest of seasons in our city, in the darkest of circumstances in your life, when hope has been evaporated, he is the light. Even if it's a glimpse of Jesus, even if it's a cracked door saying, saying, you know, maybe this whole Jesus thing is real. The light will pervade, the light will prevail, and it will come forth because he is victorious. He is a light that breaks through. He is the one that we can hope in. We see this truth of what the prophet Isaiah was saying. Like a candle, when Emmanuel, God with us, invades a dark, broken, and hurting, and dying world, darkness must flee. There is no contest. It isn't a wonder, is Jesus going to win? No, he is the light. He is the King of glory. He is the hope of glory. So when Jesus enters into our church, into our circumstance, into our city, into our world, which he already has, he is Emmanuel, God with us. He's not at afar. He's already come. He is here with us, and he's coming again, past, present, and future. He is victorious. The light has overcome. So when you're feeling hopeless, know hope prevails. Jesus has won. He is Emmanuel, God with us. We don't have time for me to read all the scriptures, but you can hear them. Isaiah 9, verse 2, John 1, verse 4 to 5, and Matthew 1, 21 to 23, and John 12 to 46 are just about five or six that I wanted to show you this morning to say that he has already been victorious. So if he's done it once, and he's done it again, he's going to do it in your life, and we have a promise, and that is the future hope that we talked about even in baptism, that there is a future hope that we can rest assured that no matter how dark things become, he is the light, and the light will overcome. Hope breaks through. Jesus came to bring salvation, hope, and light to a world, and to free us from the grip of darkness. How many would believe that there's some things in our world that are not as they should be or shall be? There's some brokenness and darkness in our world. There's some evil and injustice in our world. There's some unhealthy bends that happen throughout all different sectors of our world. But I want to tell you this, that is not how it shall be and is not how it should be. But we know that there is a hope, and his name is Jesus. And he's come to break the grip of darkness on our world, on our families, on our situations, on our circumstances, because he has already overcome. That's why as we lean forward at the beginning of Advent with hope, we can say, I've got hope today. Even when I'm walking through what seems like hell. There's some in this place that are walking through tough seasons, walking through bad diagnoses, walking through families that are broken, walking through circumstances and financial circumstances that are heavy, that are hard, that are dark. Today you might not feel like you can see a light, but I want to tell you, hopefully through this word and through a scripture, that just the door begins to peek a little bit open, and you see that glimmer of hope, you see that glimmer of light, and his name is Jesus. And he's not a long ways off. He's involved, he's caring, and he's already come to meet you, to be with you, to be your hope. That's the truth from scripture. It's past, it's present, and it's future. Instead of placing our hope in all the things of this world that are going to let us down, place our hope in him, the one who will never let us down. And why can I say that today? Because I turned to the cross. He came and he died for me and he died for you while we were still a mess, while we were broken and living in darkness. He didn't run. Instead, he ran towards us. He ran towards the cross. He came as God with us, Emmanuel. Became the perfect sacrifice, but that didn't hold him. He rose from the dead, showing that death couldn't even hold him. That light breaks free. That light breaks through. In those moments, hope breaks through. Our last truth this morning, how can we find hope in the midst of the darkness? Because I'm not going to lie to us. Say, your neighbor, pastor's not going to lie to you. See your other neighbor? Say, neighbor. And he's not starting today. There's going to be seasons, even maybe this week, when you get home, somebody else has snowblowed their driveway into your driveway. And you're going to like, pastor, you just talked about hope. I don't feel very hopeful right now. And pastor, I don't want to give him that card anymore about Christmas Eve. In these moments, How do we find hope in the midst of darkness? How do we help others find hope in the midst of darkness of our world? I believe there's four things. It's not exhaustive, just four practical things that we can do and we can look to. The first one, green isn't only for the Grinch. It's not only like Pastor Scott's shirt or my kid's shirt with the Grinch, and I see a few other Grinch shirts in the place. Green isn't only for the Grinch. As we come around and we go into different places, even as we walk outside, many of us have seen garland or the evergreens or the wreaths. As you see those evergreens and as you see those wreaths, be reminded that evergreens stay green throughout the year. When it's harsh season, they stay green. When it's hot, they still keep going. In those moments, even it's tough seasons, and they may change a little bit, they are still lasting. They are true. They are strong. It's very much a reminder of His hope and His promises for you and for me, that they will endure and prevail in even the darkest and harshest of seasons, past, present, and future. We can see that truth in Psalm 130, verse 5. So when it feels tough, when it feels like it's dark and the storms of life are crashing against you, the winds are going, hold true that when you see those evergreens, say, no, that's like His promise, that's like His hope for me. That yes, it's windy, yes, it's scary, yes, it's dark, but He will stand fast. His love for me is steadfast. His promises are true. His yes is yes and His no is no. They will not. He is a firm foundation. Number two, remember that He is faithful. I love this quote by a gentleman named Rich Validas. He says, good news of Advent is not that we are faithful in our waiting, but that God is faithful in His coming. Some of us have moments of waiting where we're like, God, when are you going to break through? When is hope finally going to break through? I know you're the light. I know you're the hope, but it doesn't feel like that. The good news of the hope and the advent of waiting is not that we are faithful because we let people down, but we're standing on and our foundation is built on the one who was always faithful. It's not based on how faithful I am. It's based on how faithful He is and His faithfulness in coming as Emmanuel and His faithfulness that He will come again, that He is victorious and He will reign and His government will bring peace and joy and hope, all the truths that we read about. We also see that even Isaiah understood this. It said in verse 7 of chapter 9, He is zealous or enthusiastic to bring hope. He isn't seeing your situation saying, oh, I hope you figure it out. His arms aren't crossed. But instead, in that season of hopelessness, in that season of darkness, in that circumstance that seems too big, He is enthusiastic and He is zealous. He is boiling over with His enthusiasm and His compassion to run to us, to move and draw near to us, to bring hope to your circumstance. So when you feel like He is afar and disengaged and disinterested in your situation, know what Scripture says. He is zealous and boiling over, filled with enthusiasm to bring hope to your life, to your neighbor, to your family, to our community. Be filled with that hope this season that He is coming, that He has come. Oh, and He's coming again. Number three, let Jesus' genealogy quiet our doubts. It's another quote I wanted to ring forth, and it says this, out of great mess comes the great Messiah. God's plans are bigger than any mess we have created or have been dealt in our lives. If you would follow the genealogy of Jesus, out of there comes a little bit of brokenness, a little bit of mess. Some today might be feeling that's good for my neighbor, that's good for the person next to me, but Pastor, you don't know my story. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know all that has gone on in my life. Let us be reminded of Jesus' genealogy, that out of a great mess, out of prostitutes, out of brokenness, out of all that's going on, we find the line of the great Messiah, the one who came to set everyone free, the one who came to be the hope of glory. So don't discredit yourself because of your past. We are made new because of the hope of glory. He is hope. And He brings hope. And last but not least, let go of wrong-placed hope. This is for all the kids. You guys have been amazing. I know you guys are in here today with us. How many have ever seen, you know, Charlie Brown Christmas? If you haven't, I'm showing my age, I know. But at Charlie Brown Christmas, there was a character, and there's certain times that I probably resembled him a little bit. You know, maybe after working on things or out fishing. And his name, you know, in those moments we had Linus in those situations. And Linus, he had a security blanket. Everywhere that Linus went, he carried this blanket along with him. And if you watch in any of the Charlie Brown accounts, he's always carrying his blanket with him. That became his security blanket. That became his place of security, his place of hope. It's where he was placing that moment of like, when things are tired, when things are scary, when things are dark, if I have this, I'm okay. But in that account, when they're doing the cantata, Linus gets up and he begins to account and sort of recount and share Luke. And as he shares the narrative of the nativity story, there's something that many times we miss. At the end of this account, after he shares that there is good tidings of great hope, of great joy, that Jesus has come, Linus walks off the stage, but the camera comes back, even it's a cartoon, and on the stage there's left his blanket. Because he had realized that although good, the place to place our hope is in Jesus Christ. That in a world that we look for all different things to place our hope, those things will one day let you down. Someone will let you down. Something will let you down. Jesus will never let you down. He is the place of hope. He is hope personified. So this morning and this week, let go of wrong-placed hope. If you're trying to find your strength and your hope in things of this world, those will pass away. Turn your hope towards Jesus Christ. He is the hope of glory. He is the light who overcomes all the darkness. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to place my hope in Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me? Dear Lord, we thank you so much for who you are. Lord, we thank you that in this season of Advent, in this season of expectation and waiting, that we wait as we remember your coming, but we wait with hopeful expectation for your return. Let us be people, and let us be a church that shines so bright in our world, that we'd be people that are filled with hope. And in the times where we've placed wrong-placed hope in things that fade away, let today be the day that we say we place our hope in Jesus Christ. We place our hope in the fact that he is Emmanuel, God with us. We place our hope that even in the darkest of seasons, the light will overcome. And we place our hope that Jesus, the hope of glory, shall return. And when he returns, he returns victorious, and that his kingdom will last forever. Let us grow in that hope. Let hope arise in us, and let hope be displayed through us. We know, Holy Spirit, we need your help. So guide us, lead us, and empower us for your glory and for our good. We ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus, and we said together, church, amen, amen. Be blessed and have an amazing week.